you're tuned in to Steve Megatron on Altered Geek.
Hello and welcome to Altered Geek. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips, and in this episode of the podcast, I'm flying solo again. Unfortunately, I don't have any hosts this week, so I'm going to fly solo. I'm going to talk about Reboot the Guardian Code. So, there's been a lot of controversy surrounding this show. Some of it good, some of it bad, some of it... I'm not really sure what's going on with their marketing department. For those that don't remember, Reboot is a show from the 90s, from 1994, that ran through the end of the 90s, early 2000s, for four seasons consecutively, and it was kind of groundbreaking at the time. However, now Rainmaker, or Mainframe Studios, which used to be Mainframe Entertainment, is releasing a new show, The Guardian Code, which is a Netflix original series coming to Netflix March 30th and YTV June 30th. It's only the first 10 episodes, however, for Netflix until the show airs in YTV. So, that being said, season one... they list 10 episodes. I think they're breaking them up, so they're 10-episode seasons, so like season 1 and season 2, it's essentially the same thing. But they've dropped the trailer, which I'm going to play right here.
It's time to send humanity back to the Dark Ages.
Alan Turing High. Only the most tech-progressive school in the city.
Nothing happens on the first day of school.
This is my house now.
Am I happy to be here? We'll see.
Room zero.
Room zero?
I'm Austin. This is Parker.
Trey.
I'm Tamara.
Whoa. Look at all this tech.
Quit touching stuff.
I knew this school was going to be cool, but this is incredible.
Guardians. Your mission has commenced.
Wait, who are you?
They call me Vera. I'm the virtual evolutionary recombinant.
She's an exchange student.
Zip warp.
Breakfast.
Oh, yeah.
Energy shurikens.
Firewall.
You must operate covertly and never reveal your guardian identities.
Whoops.
The guardian code will not stop me. Megabyte.
I reactivated you. I control you.
Invade and infect.
You must be connected to the sorcerer.
Purge the system. Now. We need to stop that maniac before he starts the next world war.
Okay, guys. It's save the world time.
No pressure.
Do the right thing.
You know what this means, right?
You are next generation guardians. The first humans to defend cyberspace.
It's okay. We got this.
Vector! Gotcha! It's gonna blow!
I'm ready.
So as you can hear, the episode trailer kind of sounds interesting, kind of sounds a little bit different, as it were. There's a little bit of news that's kind of popped up around Reboot over the last couple days, with 10 days left to go before it launches, or less than that at this point. I think there's like 8 left by this point. Anyways... The Guardian Code's website, Reboot.com, was recently redone completely, this time by some professionals at Big Fish Creative in Vancouver. The website is pretty solid. It's actually the first time we've had a solid website in the last, like, 8 years. I love the layout of it. It's very clean, very nice. A lot more polished than the marketing plan that I've seen so far, which is none. Which... has a lot of fans, including myself, very up in arms of the fact that the marketing's been kind of null until this point, and now they're finally getting to it. It's nice to see some high-res images. It's nice to see kind of a breakdown of the first season information. For instance, doing a little bit of a breakdown before we get into that, they're saying that about the series... what it's basically going to be is it follows the journey of four teenagers, Austin, Parker, Tamara, and Trey, on their first day at Alan Turing High, These unsuspecting teens discover they're being pre-selected to become the next generation guardians of cyberspace with a mission to save the world by defending it in cyberspace. With the help of Vera, an artificial intelligence bio-constructed as a teenage girl, Reboot, the Guardian Code's heroes digitize into cyberspace, where they use their code-based powers to combat viruses unleashed by a merciless hacker. Known only as the Sorcerer, this devious hacker seeks to rule the world by controlling cyberspace, and it's up to the Guardians to stop him. I will say the teenager aspect of it is like a huge turnoff to me as far as the series. But I guess we'll kind of see what happens as it goes. The acting on it seems pretty weak, at least from the promo images and the facial expressions. I don't know where they plucked these people from, but they don't scream high quality, at least not in the promotional pieces that they chose to use for the trailers. Hopefully that changes as the series goes. So anyways, they start off with the Guardian, basically the Red Ranger of the Superhuman Samurai Cyber Squad, which is Austin / Vector. They've got nice little digitized, like, breakdowns of the characters on the site. Like, he's got a code disruptor, which can frag an enemy's code. He's got a network that allows him to redistribute his own energy and that of other guardians to balance their reserves, a zip board, and overclock, which is just a turbo boost. It says his Vector is fast, daring, punches a pack, often acts impulsively, and plays by his own rules over time and learn tactics and teamwork. Then there's Parker Googs, basically like Google. He uses code like magic, conjuring, dominating, destabilizing. He's an excellent scout and quick thinker, enjoys battling enemies, but too bold and overconfident for his own good. So he's got like the hack transform objects in cyberspace. He's got scan, he's got deflector ring, which is basically like the rings from Tron. And then he's got the quadra disc, which is basically like a hoverboard with a bigger platform, so he can kind of ride it. Then you get Tamra Enigma, who's got hyperlink, can teleport short distances to avoid attack. She's also got Sonic Katana. She's got the Stealth Glider, which is like a hang glider, energy shuriken, so she's more or less the ninja of the group. She's got Ghost Mode, which she can go cloaked, which is kind of cool. And then Laser Blades. Out of the acting for this show so far, she seems to have among the female cast seems to have the weakest acting. I find more emotion in Data from Star Trek The Next Generation than I do here, but again, it's the first season, so we'll see. It says as Enigma, she is a cyber ninja, hiding from scans, slipping past security, attacking from the digital shadows, an infiltrator, a fierce combatant, quick and agile. She can cut with a whisper, slice with sonic booms, and she always has the other guardians' backs. And then there's Trey Defrag, who's got like the beast, like almost a Pacific Rim looking bot that he's in charge of. He's got the cyber shield, cyber shell, turbo pack, which is like a jetpack, bash deck, tagger, mag frag, where he can frag an entire area, power surge, and then frag fist. Says he's a tank, an oversized bruiser, largest of the guardians, always ready for a battle, and a staunch defender of cyberspace with his teammates. And then there's Vera, the virtual evolutionary recombinant avatar, which just strikes me as strange of a character, but you know, we'll see. And then going into the villains, we get the Sorcerer, who's an evil, twisted hacker bent on destroying humanity through attacks in cyberspace. It says that his main goal is to return civilization to the Dark Ages and incite fear and panic in humankind. So basically, he's trying to kill the internet to make people have to go back to old school. It says he writes with dark code, which is inherently malicious, and creates cyber creatures to carry out nefarious plans. He also resurrects Megabyte and uses him as his agent in cyberspace. He installs a delete code in Megabyte's program and thereby has control over him. The Sorcerer avoids public situations, but when he does venture out into the world, he is careful to fly under the radar. And it says that the sorcerer will one day soon learn about the next gen guardians and their ability to move between the two worlds and become obsessed with tracking them down and hijacking their technology. Megabyte still looks strange, but it's nice to see a higher res picture of him than the video. Not thrilled with the voice, as he's not entirely. He's not entirely like Tony J in sounding. I almost wish they'd gone with Megatron, or they'd gone with David K. Yes. So anyway, how obviously a powerful virus resurrected by their sorcerer, he gives Megabyte a major upgrade, improving his powers and operating system, but he also implants a delete code, giving the sorcerer control over him. Megabyte with AC says must follow the sorcerer's every command in order to prevent his own destruction. So again, kind of against his whole way of living. So Megabyte waits for his chance, feigning loyalty to the sorcerer. He carries out his missions with a smile while quickly establishing his own power base in cyberspace, a gothic fortress, complete with an army of sentinels. The legacy villain from the original reboot series remains usual egotistical, bombastic self. Intelligent, ambitious, calculating, and manipulative with a wicked, sarcastic sense of humor, he's a formidable foe. And then they show Hexadecimal, another legacy character, who looks like your season 3 self. Says that she's intrigued by the vastness of cyberspace and the new breed of guardians. She senses an opportunity to spread her wings and unafraid. You know, basically, she's the same. And then they've got the Department of Internet Security, which has Mark Rowan, who's supposed to be a college buddy and former colleague of Austin's late father. Not entirely trustworthy. Then they've got Special Agent Nance, who's chasing the sorcerer of sorts. She's obsessed with capturing the guardian and gaining control of the guardian code technology. She knows that there's humans in cyberspace. She wants to track down the evil hacker and end his reign of terror. And then there's the lead tech, Ted, basically her right hand man, highly skilled data analyst, coder. He knows what's going on in cyberspace, glitches, hacks, loyal, and yeah. So that's the cast. The nice part is they've got some nice images, and they've got the titles as well as descriptions for the first 10 episodes, which I'll quickly run through, which is first one's Activation. Basically, they just introducing everybody and then going into the reboot world at this point. Resurrection is episode 2 with the sorcerer reanimating Megabyte and upgrading him. I wonder if it's going to show the original Megabyte when they go into this. It'll be kind of interesting if they do. And then it kind of more or less mentions that they're trying to learn to be a team. Then there's Fortress Command. So they attempt to upgrade cyber suits without verification and enter a mobile game to test it out. And Megabyte's in the same game and has infected the game's fortress. And yeah. And then Catastrophic, and where the characters are having issues with their schooling, and then there's the Megabyte wiping out cybersecurity systems and allows the sorcerer to steal a new computer prototype, the Nova X3. And then Discoveries is episode 5. Mysterious spheres found in the codec reveals a starting secret about the origin of the Guardian Code technology. Then there's Emotional Rescue, where Vera installs a teenage emotion plugin into her operating system to attempt to be more human, essentially basically like Data in the emotion chip. The Guardians try to stop Sorcerer and Megabyte from bringing down a major banking system. The DIS tracks the Guardian code, believing it to be connected to the Sorcerer. Then there's Game Day, episode 7, blah, blah, blah. Megabyte, it says the Guardians find themselves trapped in a fortress by Megabyte and several of the replicants. Sorcerer changes his mind about deleting Megabyte when he discovers the Guardians are human. Artificial Intelligence is episode 8, where Vera tries to convince Austin's mother of the benefits of technology. The Sorcerer hacks the smartphone virtual digital assistant Alex, turning her into a real-world menace. They have to reset the programming of it, because, yeah. Data Storm is episode 9, while Austin is preoccupied with the Mark guy, and the Guardians rush into cyberspace when the Sorcerer takes control of a weather satellite. I'm not sure what to think about this, but Guardians are first to take drastic measures to stop the Sorcerer, who's trying to unleash a potentially devastating hurricane on the Pacific Northwest. And then episode 10, Mainframe Mayhem. Megabyte goes into Mainframe to convince his sister Hexadecimal to join forces with him, with Trey away at a basketball game. Vector, Enigma, and Googs investigate and encounter original Reboot characters Dot, Bob, Enzo, and Mainframe. Parker also tries to take his interest in Vera to the next level, only to be crushed when Trey makes plans first with her. So that's the entire rundown of the first 10 episodes. The one I'm looking forward to the most, episode 2, which is the resurrection of Megabyte. And then episode 9 and 10, Data Storm, and then Mayhem of Mainframe. I really hope that they got the original voice actors back, even though I know that they didn't for at least Hexadecimal. Because they've even got like this Guardian Code game, which is on mobile. It kind of strikes me as like a Bejeweled game. I couldn't get into it just based on the looks of that aspect. It is not that I wouldn't play something, but doing puzzles just doesn't strike me as something that I'd really want to do. So, yeah. Then there's the whole 360 experience that they've got with the video kind of floating around in various parts of Mainframe. And then the downloads, which is by far the best part. They have the wallpapers, and they actually, I love how this is laid out with the desktop, tablet, and phone aspect, and you can download variety of these different wallpapers. I have the Megabyte one, which is actually the image right here on the podcast, funny enough. And then we have you know, like the stuff of the Guardians. We have sound effects and the theme song from Reboot, the Guardian Code. I'm going to play those in here, though. Because they give them to you an MP3, M4R, and .wave. I don't even know what an M4R is, because I haven't seen one before, but I'm going to play those here.
Invade and infect.
So as you heard, I played the Guardian Code main theme, the new Hexadecimal laughter voice, the Guardian Code bumper, and then Megabyte's Invade and Infect, which the Megabyte sound almost reminds me of like David Kaye doing the voice. You think that they would have gone a little bit closer to Tony J, but I guess the reformatting kind of gives them the right to change it and him different. I just hope that he holds some of his original persona despite the upgrade, but I guess time will tell. So what do you guys think on the Guardian Code? Are you looking forward to it? Are you looking forward to hating it? Are you looking forward to loving it? Sound off, give me your comments, questions, suggestions. On further episodes, you can also interact with this podcast at Altered Geek or myself at SCP21. So until next time, when I actually get to see the show as it comes out, next week, actually, so we'll have two more episodes. I'll have an episode on Tuesday as well. This is the Friday edition of the podcast. So, until next time, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks. So, after I finished recording episode 253 the other day, and before I was going to release this episode, I decided I should probably make an addendum. And what I mean by that is the Reboot website had more things in it. Some things hidden within the website. And we kind of broke down and found a bunch of other images. One of them being episode 10, where they have Dot, Enzo, and Bob meeting the new human guardians. And while I'm appreciative of their efforts, I have to knock it a little bit, only because they have the facial expressions and the textures all kinds of wrong on the characters. Like, I get that we're on the net now. We're not on mainframe. It's a totally different universe in a sense. But part of my pet peeve with the characters is I almost would have rather they not included them if they weren't going to keep them exactly true to their original selves, or at least semi-updated them, like the kind of leaked Guardian footage that came out about 4 or 5 years ago, maybe a little bit longer. But I was a little miffed kind of seeing Bob look like a goofy, like, pre-Guardian version of himself, like before when he was fighting Kilobyte in the original reboot, and Enzo is 0-1 at the top instead of the 10, which it almost makes me think that they're a prequel. Like, this whole Guardian universe is the users are a prequel to the original reboot. Except for the fact that Megabyte's around, and Megabyte was later, and he was a Trojan horse virus. I don't know, it kind of has this weird, wonky continuity with it. Plus, you get hexadecimal there, so I really don't know what to expect as far as that, unless this is a different mainframe. And I say that meaning that maybe that's why everyone has their Season 1 look, except for Hexadecimal, which has her Season 3, and then Megabyte's somehow, like, dead. Because he says, you know, the hunt begins at the end of Season 4, and then that's it. Like, that's all we got. And so, like, I'm a little confused of how this is going to work fitting into the original reboot somewhat. I know this is a totally different rendition. I give them props for what they're attempting to do. But I wish that they would have almost either A, redesigned some of the original characters and had them more prominent into Season 2 with that look, then keep them in their Season 1 version and then try and make them look... It looks really off. And I don't say that to be mean, but I don't understand how it's going to look. It just doesn't really make a lot of sense. So, anyways, I'd kind of broken down the image, kind of looked at it, and some other people that I follow have done this as well. We've kind of come to this conclusion that Bob almost looks like he stole Enzo's face because he just doesn't look right. And Dot looks almost like an action figure. She doesn't... Their textures are kind of strange. Like, I get that they're doing it in a totally different platform. They're doing it in the Unreal Engine. Dot's Diner looks more sophisticated than the original reboot characters. And that's kind of where I'm kind of basing this off of, is if they were going to update the diner and going to update a lot of the parts of mainframe and make it look flashier and shinier and new, they almost should have done a little bit more with the actual, like, Dot, Enzo, and Bob characters a little bit more than what they did. Bob's hair looks kind of goofy. His face looks goofy. His body, I'll give it a pass. I'm wondering which version of Glitch is going to show up on him. Enzo's face looks really silly, and then the 0-1 on him makes him look like he's his early Season 1 self. Dot didn't have this uniform in Season 4, so again, there's a couple questions I have with that, and I'm kind of wondering what's going on. Did see another trailer that kind of was hidden within the website as well, it was a little interesting. The meet the characters thing, I really don't care about, and I'll... I know I'm not the demographic, and I get that, but I kind of, the way some of it's written on there, you know, meet the athletic dude who's a surfer, you know, it It's like, okay, yeah, we get it. He's athletic. Or I see him very cocky. Like, the Austin character, so far, in all the footage I've seen, the actors have displayed zero acting capability. It looks really bad. And I don't know if it's the writing or if it's the fact that the clips have shows. I want to give them the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to see the series to check it out. But I don't really like how well it's being portrayed. And then, like I said, the marketing, I really wonder about it. I think there's like a two-phase thing that's what's going on with it that they possibly planned on purpose to not do any marketing up until the last minute. And I wonder if they did this because it's gotten the most buzz here in the last 2 weeks because there's been nothing. And so the fans of the original reboot and those that... Because let's face it, I haven't seen very many positive things about Reboot the Guardian Code since the news was dropped that they were going to have Superhuman Samurai Cyber Squad, VR Trooper, Power Rangers mixed in with Reboot. I haven't seen any unless it was somebody directly tied with production. So I'm wondering if they did this on purpose to rile up the previous fans to create the buzz around the new show so people will watch it. And I think that because it's an easier tool, because the fandom is ultimately the thing that's going to decide whether this lives or fails. And even if it's marketed towards today's teens, it's still the fandom that's going to be either following or bashing it. And that's probably why there's been comments of thanks for sharing or thanks for promoting, is because ultimately that's what they're doing. That's what's happening here as well. I like it. Anytime you give it any kind of coverage, good or bad, it's still marketing. So I'm going to give it the benefit of the doubt. I'm hoping that it's better than... I have a feeling the real world stuff is going to fall very flat. And the things that are actually in the net, in the grid, are going to be where the show thrives. And I feel like Megabyte as well. I feel like, because there's instances where this actor can do Tony J's voice, and then there's instances where he's not Tony J. And I get they're not going for that because it'd be very hard to replicate unless they got somebody like David Kay, who did Beast Wars Megatron and can kind of channel that Tony J essence. But the funny thing here is that he does manage to nail the Megabyte voice when he says hexadecimal, and that's about it. But anyways, so I wanted to give this a little bit of an update and add it into the episode as far as Reboot's concerned. So, as always, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks.